But in that vision, I saw you all running. And the Lord reminded me, he said, you'll mount up all on eagle's wings. And you'll run and not be weary. And I saw that. And I was, Lord, yes, I believe that and I receive that. I receive that for our church, that we're running fast. But then the Lord, you know, spoke to me, as I said earlier. He said, it's time, instead of sermons now, it's time for some fine-tuning in our lives. And we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to fine-tune things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you. We just want an engine that runs perfectly, right? I'm not saying your engine's missing out a whole lot and everything, but I know there's been times my engine just not hit on all cylinders the way it should. And God wants the victory in this church. He wants the victory for each individual person. So we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us today. And we're going to allow the power of the God to flow freely like it's never been flowing before. Okay? And I told you, this is the word he gave me for this church is victory. And the repentance brings the times of refreshing. And Life Church needs to be refreshed. Life Church needs refreshing to get the total victory, not a partial. He does not want us to have a partial victory. We've seen a lot of victory, but he wants complete victory. I am not satisfied with, if I get healed in one area and then leave something else undone in another area, I am not satisfied with that, okay? And he told me, he said, always, not sometimes. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, he always causes us to triumph. He always, not sometimes, but always causes us to triumph. And we are going to have complete victory. And I'm going to ask, Jeff, I'll probably need you to help me too, because a lot of you know this, some of you don't know it, but Jeff has built a beautiful house, so he knows some things about construction, okay? And he's going to help me with this and kind of explain a little bit about a foundation. And how this foundation works and everything on a building or on a house. And everything that God does, he builds a foundation for it, okay? And we're going to go right to the foundation because it's the foundation that supports the rest of the structure, right? So we're going to go right to the foundation this morning. So before I do that, we're going to go over a few things that I went over in the last couple of weeks about faith. So we're not going to totally abandon faith yet, but there's a few things here that we're going to go over. And we're going to exercise this. In 2 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is met, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So we know that faith can grow. We're given a measure of faith, but faith can get stronger and stronger because the Word says it can grow. It says your faith groweth exceedingly. So I know my faith from when I was first saved is different from now. So we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, right? And then, but I want you to pay special attention to this, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. So faith with love has to be there, okay? Because faith worketh by love. And you can see from what it says there that the faith grows exceedingly, and the charity, the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So I want you to get that. Those two go hand in hand. Okay, faith and love. Okay, so faith and love, and it grows exceedingly. So your faith grows how? Exceedingly, when you start to exercise your faith, it starts to grow exceedingly, and it's... And that word exceedingly means surpassing and going beyond. So your faith is going beyond, and that's why I believe I saw y'all running really fast. Because your faith was growing exceedingly, and it was going beyond. It's going beyond. You know, there's I always refer to it as Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, okay? Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith, but just because those people are there, you all can be there also. We all are there as believers because the just shall live by faith, right? We can be all in the hall of faith, and there's no difference from Abraham to me, to you, because they didn't get something extra or better. They just believed God. They trusted God. So we all trust God, right? Say my faith is growing exceedingly. As I hear the word today, my faith will grow exceedingly. Amen. and the charity, your love is growing also. Your love is growing also. So, now, let me see what I had here. I believe the last time, here it is in 1 Kings 19:19, and I do sense in my spirit, you know, it's hard for people to admit at times that what they did, at Christian people, that what they did or done was not quite right. And I'm not trying to go back to the past and say, hey, you didn't do this or didn't do that. But when it comes to this and you hear something like this about Elisha and his servant, and what did his servant do? When he went to follow Elisha, he took and he burnt the oxen and he burnt all the plows and everything. And a lot of times, and I've been guilty of it, I've left the plows and everything that I was very familiar with, and I didn't burn them. I didn't burn the bridge, so to speak, because I wanted plan B in case plan A didn't work. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's promises in his word, I stick with it, and there's no other plan B for me. No more plan Bs, okay? There's only God's plan, and that's it. So, I sense that this could bring a lot of condemnation or conviction upon a person because that's what I've been used to doing. And when you get the word in you and then it comes and it's like, okay, you know what? You're telling me, preacher, that that's not right. No, this is telling you. I'm not. I'm just simply reading it to you. Okay? So I don't want you to get under condemnation from this. Now, let me see. We're going to go on today, after that, we're going to go on to the fine-tuning part here. Now, out of all this here, there is a message here, okay? Believe it or not, there's a message here in this. And can everyone see the big board up on top there with this? There. Can everyone see that? All right. Now, in Deuteronomy 32:20, and he said, now remember, we've been talking about faith. Okay, we've been talking about faith, and I'm not going to deviate from faith. I'm going to get back onto the right track of faith, but there's some things that we're going to go over first. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Okay, and then he goes on to say this in that chapter. He said in Deuteronomy 32:30, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? So, what is it that I want you to see, and I believe the Lord wants us to see there, is God was displeased with this people because they had no faith. Now, last time when we got together, we talked about some of the enemies of faith. And you know, I can be ignorant in an area and that can be an enemy of faith. Okay? I can be ignorant in a part of the word and it can be an enemy of faith. Because I have nothing to believe in, right? I have nothing to believe in because we know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, what do I want you to see there? The Bible clearly, I believe, teaches that there is a power multiplied, okay? If one shall chase 1,000 and two shall chase 10,000. So, if I can chase 1,000, then Kathy and I both can chase 10,000, okay? There is a key here, I believe, in getting where God wants us to be and wants to bless us. Okay? There's a definite key here. Now, let's go to this. Psalm 127:1 says this. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh but in vain. So, unless the Lord does this, you're going to labor. That's the bottom line. Let's just get that. Unless the Lord does this, you're going to labor. Except the Lord build the house. And we're going to talk about building houses here and how this relates to wrapping our faith around this. Okay? We got to have something to wrap our faith around. And our faith can be destroyed because of ignorance. So we're going to see this. And I've never really heard this before, really heard it taught. But you know, the Lord always starts with a foundation. You know, whenever he starts with something, he starts with the foundation. And in Psalm 11:3, it says this. If the foundations be destroyed, What will the righteous do? The foundations be destroyed. What will the righteous do? You got that, Ben?
Yeah.
Read it. Okay, that's good. That's good. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? So, this has been something that has been brewing, and I'm going to tell you, I'll show you how to get some victory here and to have complete victory and not a partial victory. For those of us who are married, okay, I'm going to show, and even single, you can learn something out of this. The foundation, we're going to do a foundation inspection. Jeff, what if we built this? Let's say we had to build this building and we poured the foundation on this building. But in some places we skimped and we did it about an inch thick on the concrete. What would happen to the structure? It would crack, right? We would see cracks in our drywall and it'd be pretty hard to hold up that structure, wouldn't it? We might even have some of the brick fascia falling off of the thing, right? So, God builds a foundation, and God builds a foundation with everything, and he built the foundation in the home. All right, now, here's what I want you to see here. But you know what we don't do? We don't labor in vain, because we're going to get some understanding. We're going to get some understanding in areas where we don't labor in vain, because we are blessed of the Lord. We are the seed. It says, we are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, okay? So we're blessed. So let's go on here. Now, I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to show you a foundation here. I'm going to talk about the foundation in the home for a moment. In Genesis chapter 2, 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Who was made first? Man. Does everyone see that? That man was made first. He was taken from the dust of the ground, and he was made first. And then we go, who was made second? And God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So, who was made second? Woman. That is not to say the woman is a second-class citizen or an afterthought. Okay? Now, there's a lot really in these two verses when you look at this very carefully. God made man first. God made man the foundation for the home. Now, what did it say in Psalm 11:3? If the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Or what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, now listen, gentlemen, if the foundation is not strong, what happens to the rest of the supporting structure? It crumbles. Now, when God made the divine plan and the divine purpose, he started out with a foundation. That man was the foundation. Does everyone see that? He made man first. He created man, and then he created woman. Now, woman here, and God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So it wasn't man's decision to get a woman. It was God's, right? And you know why God gave man the woman? So man could fulfill his divine purpose that God created him for. Did you hear me? Now, here is what has been going on. Okay? The foundation has been poured with too much water in it. Do you know what happens, Jeff? What happens when you put too much water in concrete? It makes it weak. But the less water you put in the concrete, you can have 3,500 PSI concrete or 4,500 PSI concrete with less water. So what has happened is that the man... Now, gentlemen, we're going to have to look at ourselves at this. And I've been looking at this for a long time now, and I have seen multiplied power come into our relationship and into our prayer time. I'm going to tell you this will affect not only your families for eternity, but it will affect everyone else outside of this arena. it'll affect other people for eternity. Do you believe that? Do you hear what Cassie said this morning? She said, I have no idea who that girl was, but yet she kept her name and number. I had no idea when I gave that videotape to those people I used to work for that later on, 16, 18 years later, that their kids would go out into the mission field because the parent got saved and then as a result of that started going to church and raising their kids up properly. Now what I'm saying is this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So if we as a man don't make sure that we have a strong foundation for our family, what's going to happen? Now I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a home that's out of order because the woman will start to take and step up to the plate because, gentlemen, we didn't do our part. Now, I'm not just going to pick on the gentlemen, the men here, I mean. I'm not just going to pick on the men. Yes, the women have a great responsibility in this, but I'm telling you, as I've prayed and I keep sensing this over and over in my spirit, if you want power in your marriage, in your home, and when you pray and get answers for your family, there's got to be an understanding here instead of an ignorance. And it's not going to be an excuse anymore. There's got to be something here that you can wrap your faith around, both men and women. We've got to get our faith wrapped around this as what we are supposed to do. Okay? As men, as what God created us for. He created us for a very specific purpose. And you know what that purpose was? To take dominion and subdue the earth. Right? That's what he created us for. That's what he created man for. Now, it's up to us, men, to take the lead. Who named all the animals? Adam did. Why did he name all the animals? Because he was the one in authority. Now, again, it's not to say that the woman has a less role. In fact, if you go back and study this very carefully, he created their spirit in chapter 1, and he created them as equals. In chapter 2, he put on the physical part of them. Okay? And it was Adam that named Eve. That just showed the authority. Okay? But I'm trying to tell you, what I'm trying to tell you is this. There is a divine order, and there's a divine purpose. And there's, we as men have to wrap our faith around what the Lord says that we must do in order to see this fullness of the blessing, in order to see the power multiplied. In order to see the power multiplied, and in order to see and walk under this divine blessing that God has for us all, the woman can't do it all on her own, and we all can't expect for the wives to go out here and do these things, because we're not going to see what God really intends for us to have and for what will happen, okay? It just don't work that way, okay? So, over the next probably several weeks, I'm going to start teaching on men. You know, I taught on this before, but I'm going to start teaching. We've gotten some more revelation. Men on what we're supposed to be doing, and women what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to fine-tune this, and it all starts in the home. Because if the home's foundations is cracked, what happens to the church's foundations? They're cracked too, and it's not healthy, right? So, we're going to go after this. Now, I'll show you too what happens when one spouse is not in line with what he should or she should be doing, okay? And how you can overcome that. So you don't despair if one or the other is not doing what they should be doing. Because the Lord has showed me quite a bit about covenant and about our relationship with Him. People have always looked at this. We've been trained to look at one another as to supply our need. And that's what God never fully intended for us. He never intended for our spouse to supply our need. Okay? And I'm going to really get into this and really get into it hard because, you know what? I want to see that where y'all run and fast. You're all running fast. Okay? And I've been praying for this community and everything, and I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to deal with me, to deal with all of us. And Lord, if there's something not right, I want you to change it. I want you to change it in this church. I want to see people come to know you. I want to see supernatural healings. Not that we haven't already, but we're going to see it on a greater scale. Because we all know what our responsibilities are under this covenant, under these terms and conditions of the covenant, okay? Now, does everyone see what foundations? The man is the foundation. And in the church, do you know who the devil goes after, really? Who does the devil go after? He doesn't really go after the wife or the kids. He goes after the man. That's who he goes after. What would I go after if I wanted to destroy the building? I'd go after the foundation. I would go after the foundation to make the entire structure collapse. Right? I mean, I'd go right to some of those supporting structures underneath and on the concrete, and I'd either pour some acid on it, make them dissolve, and then pretty soon you'd see the rest of the building just fall apart. The enemy goes after the man, because if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You got to have something there to support it. Right? So you are going to be in a battle, and I'm going to tell you what happened now. I'm going to tell you what all to expect. We've been praying lately more than we have, and we've seen, you know, more doors have opened up for Kathy and I to go out and minister and pray for people and everything. But guess what happens? Let me give you one wild guess of what happens. The enemy starts to come in and attack. And he does it sometimes through other people. And he can do it through Christian people. Just because they're saved, he can still do it through them. Okay? People say stuff, innuendos and like that. But you know what? You're going to have to guard your heart against those things. Because I'm telling you, there's some greater things, and I see these greater things already starting to happen. And we're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and change us. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've told you this before, and I'm not bragging, but our relationship that we have with one another is heaven on earth. I'm not embarrassed or ashamed to say that. It is heaven on earth. And that is what God promised. And when I read that in the Bible, I fully expect that to happen in my life. When he says this, I fully expect it to happen. We've been given great promises, like it says in Peter. I fully expect them to come to pass. You know, when we were worshiping this morning, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you know what? When you remind me, or when you think about and when you talk about what's not going right, he said, it's a smell in my nostrils. It stinks. It stinks. When we go back to the Word, and in Revelation 8, and you can read this yourself in Revelation 8, what he offers up the prayers of the saints with, the incense from off the altar. He offers up that incense with the prayers of the saints. And you know why he puts incense with it? Because it smells good. Because it agrees with his word. Anytime that we offer up something that doesn't agree with this, it stinks. And he don't like it. It smells bad. Our high priest can't offer that up for us. Jesus is our high priest. You can study that out throughout Hebrews. That Jesus is our high priest. He is there in the sanctuary offering up my prayers that I prayed this morning right before the throne of the Father. Okay? So there's some fine-tuning that God wants us to really get down here with, that we really need this. Now, men, I'm going to tell you this. Here's a spot where we can get started at. Is in Ephesians 5:25. It says, men, that you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church. What is one of the ways how Christ loved the church? He laid down his life, and he also taught them his word. Okay? So I'm going to tell you, men, there is a responsibility on us to know the word of God. And I'm not talking about giving our wives a 3-point sermon or anything like that, but I'm going to tell you how Kathy and I do it. There are things that I'll come up with, and the Holy Spirit will show me, and I'll say, Kathy, look at this. Look what the Lord showed me. I take that word, and that is how I build her up with it. That's how I love her. That's how I love her. If I didn't love her, I would just totally ignore it and say, okay, that's for me, and I'll take it and I'll run off with it. Our relationship with each other is, I take the word and I'll teach her some things. And you know, not that she doesn't know anything, and not that she can't get any revelation. She gets a lot of revelation. And when we pray, I don't do all the praying. She prays too. And when we get revelation, I get revelation, she gets revelation. And I'm listening. I'm all ears when she has revelation, because I know the Holy Spirit speaks to her. So I'm just telling you, man, this is something that you can wrap your faith around. One of you will chase 1,000, but two of you chase 10,000. When you start wrapping your faith around saying, Lord, I believe your word, and I believe you're showing me what our home and what it needs to be, not just in our home, but Lord, I'm praying, I'm believing you're showing me what it takes to witness to get to this other person. Now, after church, we got to go and pray with someone, and I prayed about it last night. I'm going to tell you, this is how you wrap your faith around these things. This is how you get multiplied power. The Lord started working through me through word of knowledge, you know, and he started telling me, okay, this is what this person needs. If you go to this, you can get to the root core of this. Okay? Because I'm taking my faith and I'm saying, Lord, okay, I'm believing that you're going to show me. Lord, I'm believing you're going to show me what our home, how to set this in order. It's going to be a home of love. It's going to be a home of peace. And people are going to look at our marriage and they're going to envy it. Didn't the Philistines envy Isaac? Yeah, it was Isaac that they envied, because they saw the blessing of God upon his life. The blessing of God goes hand in hand with a home that is peaceful and without strife. Okay, now, I'll go back over, as time goes on, I'll go over and show you what happens when one or the other is not wanting to cooperate with this purpose. Okay, I'll show you what you do. And it's really quite simple. Okay, so we're going to fine-tune some things. We're going to make sure, not that we're not getting any answers now to our prayers, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a multiplication and there's a power in prayer when you can come together as a couple and pray. I'm telling you, there is nothing that'll stand in your way. You know what? If married couples would learn this very simple concept, I believe it'd put Eli Lilly out of business. I really do. It would put Eli Lilly out of business. Very simple, that God has in his word. And, you know, I believe with all my heart, as I've been praying in these last few weeks, God wants us all to expand the borders of our tent. I've told you all that, what happened, the series of events and everything. He's got some great things for all of us, for your families, to reach out to other people. It's not going to be the same old thing anymore. It's going to be better. God blessed us with a divine purpose so we could be a blessing. And there's a divine order, there's a divine purpose, and you'll see this once we go through this about submission. People cringe, the women cringe on that, but it's not what traditionally we have been taught in the churches with what the man's role is, the woman's role is, the woman being a servant to the man. I'm going to tell you something. It's not, as I said before, it's not about who washes the dishes or takes out the trash. It is about fulfilling the purpose that God intended at the very beginning of creation for man and woman to fulfill, and to see divine power released in this world. We need some divine power released in this world desperately. I'm going to tell you, it is falling apart right before our eyes. As I speak this morning, it's falling apart, but the God's people, I believe, are starting to step up to the plate. I sense that. He is stirring his people, and God is going to do some great things in this world before we go home, and we're going to go home here pretty soon, I believe. So that ought to get you excited. That ought to get you excited, because There are things going on right now that God's in control of, and not the devil. Not the devil. Luke, where is Luke? Luke, you said it this morning. I don't think a lot of people realize this, that when Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 was tempted in the wilderness after he died on the cross, he took back from the enemy what rightfully belongs to us. And that all we have to do is go out and take it back. Take it back. A conqueror, if you're a conqueror, you take things. Men, we're conquerors. Men, listen to me. We're going to take back our families that was lost. Right? We're going to take back our families. And when we step up to the plate and we understand this, what God is showing us in the Word, we're going to take back our lost families. We're going to take back our community. We're going to take back our state. We're going to see a righteous government come in. We're going to see righteousness prevail. Come on, we got to get our faith wrapped around that. This is our world, it isn't the devil's. I'm going to tell you, this is our world, it isn't the devil's, and it's not up to him to trash everything. It's us, up to us to go back and take our rightful place and subdue it. When he said, Adam, where are you? He knew right where Adam was. God didn't have to ask him where. He knew. You think God couldn't find him? God knew where he was at. He was telling Adam, you have fell from your rightful position, Adam. That's what had happened to Adam when they partake of that fruit and they shouldn't have done it. Just looking for the place that he fell from. Now, men, Jesus provided everything for us to take back our rightful place. And we're going to do that. And we're more than conquerors. If you get shot in the back, that means you've been running away. You got plenty of armor in the front. You get shot at, you got the shield of faith. But if you take off and run, you're going to get shot in the back. Okay? And when you get shot in the back, it ain't going to feel very good because you're going to fall down. I don't know how else to say it. So, and ladies, you're going to pray for your husbands, right? Women, you're going to pray for your husbands. Because we're going to find out later what it means when the rib was taken from Adam. Man was created from the dust of the ground, but woman was taken from the rib of Adam. Okay? And what all that means. It's not a spare rib either. So, we're going to keep going on with this, and one of the things I'm going to keep hitting on, we're going to hit on faith, and we're going to wrap our faith around this. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, so this week I want you to go, and men, I want you to pray. Women, I want you to pray for your husbands. Men, I want you to pray, God, show me, open up my heart to this. I need to know to get this power multiplied in my home because I don't want to see my family go to hell. I don't want to see the world, my neighbors, go to hell. I won't want to see any people I work with go to hell. We're going to have a release of divine power in our homes. We're not going to take a complacent attitude about it. And this ought to get you excited because God gave us everything. Jesus Christ on the cross gave us everything we need. He took it all back and all we have to do is just claim it. Right? So, don't despair. Don't despair if your spouse is not coming alongside you. I'm going to tell you, there are still promises in His Word if you will just watch how you treat the covenant that we've made with Jesus Christ. God will bless you for it. Okay? Now, I'll say this in closing. Do you know what happens when? I love this. Do you know what happens when a person says, you know, and we all have needs. Don't get me wrong. We all have needs. Okay? But when you're looking to that spouse to fulfill those needs, you know what happens? You're looking to use someone. Did you catch that? Let me say it real close. If you have these needs, and we all have needs, but instead of trusting God, you're trusting in your spouse, and that's not the way it's supposed to be, you're looking to use someone. Did you catch that? Our trust is in God. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're looking at your spouse to fulfill your needs, you're going to be disappointed. you're going to be disappointed. You'll be disappointed every time. And I think this is a trap that many people fall into. And it's something that they've taught in a lot of marriage classes. You fill my love tank, and I'm going to fill your love tank. You know what? That is unscriptural. You need to throw that trash where it belongs, in the trash. That is unscriptural. Okay? So, I will look to God, and then my needs will be met, right? And I have faith in my marriage. When I have faith in God for my marriage, is the way I need to say it. I have faith in God for my marriage, because when I do things, men, that I'm supposed to do according to the Word, then you know what? I don't have to ask Kathy. She does it. Because of my trust in God. And vice versa. So, I'm trying to save you from some disappointment and some discouragement. Okay? Well, Kathy didn't do what she was supposed to do. On and on it goes, and then they start complaining, and then it's like, she just does this, and she does that, and blah, 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 and it goes on and on and on. But my trust is in the Lord, in what I am supposed to do under that covenant relationship. And then everything falls into place. So we're going to go over this very slowly, and I'm going to just keep going over it and over it and over it. Because you know how long it's taken me? It's taken me a long time, and I spent hours studying this. I got to get this down. Not that we didn't have it. We had it down, but I'll tell you, I'm learning new things, and I know now why. And you said it a few weeks ago, Sue, you said it, well, I just wanted to be a blessing because I wanted to get Kathy a Cadillac CTS. I wanted to get her one of those. And I understood it. After I started studying all this, it's like, I really want to start blessing my wife. Because as I studied this, it started developing this. My mind started getting renewed, and then it was like, hey, you know what? This is really starting to change me now on the inside. I can't wait to bless her. The wives are like, yeah. So I understand that. I absolutely got a revelation of that. I was like, I wonder why I want to do that. I mean, just driving along thinking, Lord, I would love to get Kathy one of those cars. So, this is an exciting time, and I'm telling you, if you just hang with it and everything, you'll see how the power multiplied will come into your home. You'll start seeing answers to prayer like you've never seen before. I guarantee it. Well, actually, I don't have to guarantee it. The Word guarantees it. One of you chase 1,000, two of you chase 10,000. So if we can do that in our home, what does it mean when we all come together if the foundations are where they should be? What if we all came together and we started praying that way? What do you think would happen? Miracles, lots of miracles. Now, I'm not chasing after miracles. I'm just wanting to do what the Father wants us to do. Okay? I just want to do what the Father wants us to do. He wants this kingdom established. He can do it. He can do it every single time. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are going on we can look at this as an adventure, okay? And we can look with expectancy of how this Word is going to change us all and how it'll develop an excitement in us to want to go out and be a blessing to others, okay?
One thing that kept speaking to my heart was that as you begin to do this and you begin to walk in this way, you no longer look at those things that are around you because you already know the answer. And that's what you put your faith in, and that's how you can have joy in the midst of the circumstances that are going on around you, because you already know what's going to happen at the end. It doesn't matter that the waters are muddied in between. You already know that your answer is there. And I just want to encourage you. I know that's something that has been on my heart all this service, is that you put your faith in this, and you maintain relationship with God singly, but maintain your relation with God as a single person, but also coming together as a married couple. You will see God move when you look to the answer in His Word rather than what's going on around you.
Amen. You know, I just sense this in my spirit. Is before we pray, I'm going to read this to you real quick. We're going to share this a little bit more in depth next weekend. But it's in Matthew 18. It says here in the Bible, and this really, I'll give you a background here in Matthew 18. It was about the servant who went, because I just really sense this. People struggle with this quite a bit. And Matt and I were talking about this yesterday, and this is what triggered this. And it's about a servant who asked the Lord to forgive him. And he did. And his Lord forgave him. But then when his servants came to him and they asked for forgiveness, you know, of debt, he refused to do it. And then here's what happened. Now look carefully. Here's what happened. It says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Now, a believer that refuses to forgive is delivered to the tormentors. Now, there's revelation for you. The reason why a lot of believers have torment is because they refuse to forgive. Now, what is torment? Torment is just simply anxiety over things. You can't have any peace. You're struggling. It's like you're fighting yourself. You have these constant battles with things, interpersonal, just torment. I mean, just plain torment and no peace. Now, I've known a lot of professing Christians to be in a lot of torment, okay? And the reason, one of the key reasons why they're in torment is because they refuse to forgive. Now, look at this. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. So likewise, listen, did you hear what it says? I didn't make this up. This is what it says. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do this also unto you. Now, if you're struggling with things and you've got torment, you need to take a good hard look. And I know that, you know, I've been around this. Everything else or everyone else is easy to blame than when you take a look inside here, okay? And you won't forgive because you're handed over to these tormentors. So if you're struggling with things, there's a reason why, okay? When I read that, and it just hit me right between the eyes. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. How many Christian people do I know that's tormented? I mean, downright, they have no peace. And they're professing believers, and there's no peace. The consequences of unforgiveness. It's an enemy of faith. And I can put that up there as an enemy of faith, is unforgiveness. And I know we went over that, you know, several times about unforgiveness and what the effects of unforgiveness are. But I think God has shown Matt some great revelation on unforgiveness, and sometime he's going to teach that to us all, some more revelation on unforgiveness and what it does. So I just wanted to mention that. If you're struggling and having a hard time believing at times, just relationships struggling and everything, well, take a look here and see what happens. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. What's he going to do? Deliver you over to the tormentors. And you're not going to have any peace. Okay? So I'm not saying that to make you feel embarrassed or anything like that, but that's the reality of things. That's the reality. That's truth right there. And that truth will set you free if you accept that and say, you know what? I struggle with that. Does anyone in here struggle with that? Someone says something to you. Someone does something to you, and you struggle with it. And it's just hard for you just to let go of it. And it can be your spouse doing that to you. It can be your spouse. It doesn't have to be your coworker. It don't have to be the neighbor. It can be your spouse. Where you're in turmoil with them, and it's just like, Father, I just need to forgive them, and I just need to look to you and to the promise of your word. And we'll pray. I'll pray over you. If you're having that, I'll agree in prayer with you. If you're having that struggle. So, anyone? break that off your life and just say, God, I want to start looking to your word. I'm not going to look to so-and-so anymore. I just, you know, I'm going to look to you, and I won't have this torment anymore. Anyone. Pray for you. Okay. Well, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer now. I know I kept you a long time, but we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to pray. Okay.